Well, as I was looking at our text for this Sunday, the word that jumped out at me in the translation that I used, or the first translation I looked at, which is the NRSV, they all say the same thing. They just use slightly different words. And the word that was used in the first verse of our Philippians reading was imitate, where Paul says, you should imitate me. In the NIV, it says, join with others in following my example. Take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. And the question came to mind is, much as anything, who to imitate? Because whether we like it or not, we're going to imitate people. That's just the way it is. That's where accents come from. There is no sort of pure speech in any language. Every language has an accent. We don't think we have one because we don't hear it. But if you talk to anyone who comes from somewhere else, they'll tell you, oh yeah, I can tell what part of Canada you're from, even. And it's because we imitate people. We imitate, in this case, usually our parents and those people that teach us how to speak in the first place. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just the way it is. Sometimes we find ourselves imitating people without really knowing about it. We used to see this on an ongoing basis when I worked with undergraduate students. And you could tell people who felt a particular affinity for a particular professor because they started talking like them. Or if they were musicians, they would start playing like their teachers. You could tell who had been working in particular. David McIntyre, a great composer and a very, very good pianist, you could tell who had been working with him the most because he has some mannerisms at the piano that you would then see in other students. And it didn't necessarily make them better students or better piano players, but I'm not so sure about that. I used to think that it was just one of those things. You just, you know, if you imitate them, sort of a, not quite a character flaw, but you should be yourself or something like that. And the more I think about it, the more I realize that, well, first of all, you can't step away from the influence of other people. You're going to be influenced by them no matter what. And the people you're closest to and spend the most time with will have the biggest influence on you, for good or ill. That's just the way it is. You will pick up on things that you learn, not because you set out to learn them, but because they're just pervasive to your context. And if we're going to imitate people, and we are, do we have any choice in the matter? Well, when we're really little, no, we don't. Because we don't get it. I think of Eli in our house. He doesn't get a lot of choice. He gets some. He can choose whether to eat or not, because I don't think anybody's figured out how to make a one-year-old eat if they don't want to. So he gets to choose that, and he gets to choose whether he's awake or asleep, because we still haven't figured out a way to guarantee that a one-year-old, or for that matter, anybody, will go to sleep. But he doesn't get to choose where he's going to go, other than walking around in this room to that room. He doesn't get to choose whether he goes to daycare or not, or whether he comes along on a shopping trip. He doesn't get to choose what's on the television if the television's on. He doesn't get to choose the people who are around him, who take care of him to the best of our ability. Later on, he will get to, but until that time, he's going to be influenced by his caregivers, everyone in the house, grandparents, and all the rest, people that he sees on a regular basis. And what Paul is helping us realize in this passage, or something that we should at least consider thinking about, is that while there are lots of influences that we have that we can't get away from, we can choose people that we want to be like. And this is another one of those things that when you're younger, you tend to think that you're going to be your own person and you're going to forge your own way, and you'll do it all on your own, which, as I think I've said before, is one of the most pernicious bits of nonsense in our culture, this idea that you can do anything entirely on your own, and therefore you don't owe anybody anything, and no one owes you anything. It's just silly. We live in an interdependent society. We're all dependent on each other for all kinds of things. But when we're younger, it's easy for us to just skip over those things and see we can be ourselves. And later on, we look back and we perhaps see influences and we think, I wish I would have chosen better. And when we were younger, we didn't know we were making those particular kind of choices at all. Paul tells us, look around for the people that you want to be like and be like them. We're all going to try to imitate someone. We're all going to, when we're all together in church, you know, who do we ultimately want to be like? We want to be more Christ-like. We sing songs about it. We read it in Scripture. It's one of those things that we want to do. We want to be more like Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's difficult to do that if that's our only sort of image to look towards, because Jesus isn't here the same way that the rest of the people that we can see are. And Paul was aware of that. And Paul says, join with others in following my example and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. What Paul is telling us there is that we imitate people who are going to encourage us or model or demonstrate what it is that we ultimately want. And Paul wasn't being arrogant here. He wasn't saying that I'm somehow spectacularly better than everyone else. But he's saying there are things that I've learned. There are ways that I live my life that it would be good for you to imitate. And it's the same for us. Now, we can imitate Paul, but Paul also is a bit removed from us. We can't actually see Paul. We can't listen to him quite the same way we can to some other sorts of people. So who do we imitate? Well, we imitate lots of people. It's not just a matter of picking one person you want to be like. As I was thinking of this text, as I was thinking of this season in the church here of Lent, where we make specific choices for these few weeks, sometimes we choose to give things up, and as I've said, there's obviously nothing wrong with that. It's a good discipline to do. Sometimes during Lent, we add things. Perhaps we read a book that we might not otherwise, or we spend more time with God. So I guess we're giving up something. We're giving up that time that we'd do somewhere else. But during this time of Lent, we're given a particular opportunity to at least consider who it is we might want to be more like. Because imitating people isn't limited to just the people that we're in immediate contact with. We can imitate people that we read about. We can imitate those people who write those books that we read. I went through a spell where I spoke actually quite a lot like C.S. Lewis. Because I read a lot of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was extremely important to me as I made a transition into an authentic faith in God through Jesus. I read a lot of his stuff. He's a great writer, has a number of very powerful images. And so I was a lot like C.S. Lewis, as much as you could be, I suspect, as sort of someone who hasn't met him, because he died when I was a year and a half old. But did imitating C.S. Lewis cause me any particular problems? Well, I don't know for sure, but I don't think so. I think trying to be like C.S. Lewis after reading his stuff, maybe I talked a little funny for a while, like a mid-20th century English don, which was a little odd for someone in the late 20th century born in Canada. But by reading what he wrote, and by trying to understand it and trying to be like that, I think it made me a better person in all kinds of ways. I think it broadened and deepened my understanding of God. C.S. Lewis made me a more compassionate and a more generous person. I'm not everything like C.S. Lewis. I mean, there's some things that he thought that just aren't really for me. But we can imitate people like that. And to stay in the C.S. Lewis frame of mind, We can even imitate people that don't really exist. If you've ever read the Chronicles of Narnia, or read them to someone, or had them read to you, there are some really wonderful characters in there that we could do well to try and imitate, to try and imitate the courage of some of those children, their willingness to trust in Aslan, the type, a representation of Jesus, of God. We can imitate people. We can imitate, you can even imitate fictional characters. And there's, not only is there nothing wrong with that, I'd put it to you that Paul is telling us that we should. Because one of the things that we need to remember is that our own circle, our own context, is always, by its very definition, limited. And when we begin with ourselves, like our context of just us, of course that's limited. We know that. We have to learn things from other people. No one is born knowing all they need to know. And as we move into a mature relationship with God, as a mature understanding of what it means to be a follower of God, we need to learn that from other people. And so we do. We learn it from teachers in Sunday school. We learn it, hopefully, from our parents and from other relatives. We learn it in church. And that's certainly an expansion of our immediate context. But it's still not enough. We learn more when we read Scripture. We learn more about what it means to be a true follower of God when we read the biographies of people who have followed God. We learn more of what it means to understand Scripture when we read, well, commentaries, if you're given to that sort of thing, or we read devotional books that help us understand parts that we don't understand. The Bible is a very complicated book. It's big and long. It's written a long time ago about a place that we've never experienced. We need help understanding that. And when we read these books, it's not just the information that we get, which is of value in and of itself. But when we read these books, we get a sense of humility that comes from the authors who say, this is my best understanding of this. We learn ways to approach Scripture. We learn ways to approach each other. We learn ways to think. Not because somebody says, I'm now going to teach you how to think in this way, but because they demonstrate it. They model it for us. And when we see those sorts of things, those are the things that we can imitate, that we can take onto ourselves. That humility before Scripture that C.S. Lewis demonstrated, because that was one of his great gifts to me, was this a clear understanding that we come to Scripture and we understand lots of it really well, but there are some parts that are a little bit trickier for us, and we hold on to our understanding lightly because we're limited human beings and we don't always get everything right. It was one of the best things I could have, particularly for someone like me, that was one of the best things I could have imitated from him or from anyone else. We can imitate Paul as best we can, and we can imitate Jesus when we read about Jesus in the Gospels, but we can also, looking around at the saints in our lives, whether they're immediately available to us, where you only see them once in a while, or perhaps we only read their books, or see them giving lectures on recordings, or listen to them, whatever it might be. And we can imitate those too. And we should. For us to try to create our own unique and singular path to God, well, even if it were possible, and I don't think it is, it would be so much unnecessary work. Rather than trying to invent this new thing, let's look around at the people that we know and the resources that we have and say, those are the kinds of things, those are the kind of character qualities, or those are the kinds of abilities that I would like to have. Because what Paul is talking about imitating is a bit more than just, well, putting on an accent. It's more than dressing like someone. It's seeing what it has that they have of value and trying to take it within ourselves. Trying in that aspect, not all aspects, but in that aspect, to become like them. All of us have those models that we can see. All of us have those examples that we can follow, whether it's someone as close as a parent or a spouse or a sibling, or someone that we've only encountered through their writing or through seeing them on television or listening to them on radio or a podcast or whatever it might be. We do have these opportunities. And perhaps during Lent, it's worthwhile for us to think about who it is that we're becoming like. Because ultimately we want to become more and more like Jesus. But who are those people in our lives that move us along that direction? Who are those people that behave in ways that we look at and we go, I wish I could be more like that? Because the step after that is saying, I'm going to try to become more like that. You can even ask for help when you're trying to imitate someone, because you're not trying to become them, and you're not trying to add something that will be false on you. But if you see something in someone, and you say, that behavior you have, that thing you do, I would like to be more like that. How did you get there? That's an okay conversation to have. It's a pretty good one, in fact. So who to imitate? It's going to be different for all of us. And there will be times when we can do it more or less. And that's why Lent is a good time to think about it. To think about what is it that we see in some other person. That we look at it and we say, if I had that in my life, it would make me more like Jesus. Well, those are the people we want to imitate. So for the next few weeks, maybe keep your eyes open for those kind of people, those kind of resources. And when you see them, try to be like them. If Paul said we should, I'm pretty sure it's okay. Oh, man.